Hey, everybody, what's happening? It is the middle of the week, Wednesday, and this is Kaplan and crew. And before we get started with the actual show today, which, by the way, we got another great show coming your way. We're going to go in a lot of different directions today, so stay tuned for that. I'll explain coming up in a second. Before I do, as always, I love to mention our partners at the beginning because these are the companies that make this all happen. And without them, we don't get to do this every day together. And we don't get to, you know, support Browner the way we did when he had family tragedy and come together as a community. And I hope everybody's going to join us on Saturday night, because Saturday night is just going to be a celebration of Browner. It really is. It's going to be a welcome home. Give him some love. Show him, you know, we all put in money, but let's actually show up hand to hand, hug it out, the whole thing. Saturday night, the Kraken, 91 Octane is the band. And we'll see you guys all there on Saturday. All right, here goes. I'm going to try and make this as quick as I can. So here goes. 7 Mile Casino. Their website is 7milecasino.com. And if you're going to play blackjack or poker, why would you go anywhere else in San Diego County other than to our partners? It's smoke-free, amazing food with Sammy's Restaurant and Bar. It's right off the freeway. It's 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego. It's open 24/7. If you're going to play blackjack, poker, and table games, do it at our place, 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. Now, if you're down in the Chula Vista area, you could stop by California Holistics. If you're up a little bit further into the middle part of the county, you can go to Torrey Holistics in Sereno Valley. And oh, by the way, if you are a listener or a viewer and you're up in Oxnard, Grande's hometown, the 805, you can go to Oxnard Holistics. And when you buy your cannabis at these places, California, Torrey, and Oxnard Holistics, you're supporting our partner, number one, and you're getting the most amazing deal, because when you use our code KaplanCrew, you'll save 20% when you spend $75 or more, and you're bound to spend $75 or more. Use the QR code, or use the code when you go in store, or use it when you get delivery. So there you go. Kaplan Crew at Torrey Holistics and California Holistics and Oxnard Holistics. Our friends at Blenders. I can't tell you how much I appreciate this partnership with Blenders. Okay. I mean, first of all, I've been a Blenders wearer for years. Secondly, to finally connect with Chase Fisher after he did that deal with Deion Sanders last year, and then to know what he does for San Diego State when it comes to NIL money, then to know what he's done internationally when it comes to F1 and the Red Bull Racing team. I mean, we have a superstar right here in our town, and he trusts us to be his partner. So listen, if you're going to buy sunglasses, especially as we're going into the summer, buy Blenders. They're the best price. They're the best quality. You can buy multiple pairs, and you can use our code Kaplan and save 20% in-store or online at blenderseyewear.com. Hey, big shout out to our people at Prize Picks. Now, look, I got to be honest. I'm not doing very well right now. Basketball is killing me. So I've already started to make my play, not for today, but for tomorrow. I'm going to go back to my dart-throwing phenom, 17-year-old Luke Littler, to go for more than 3.5 180s thrown. I'm going to combine him with LeBron James tomorrow night, and I'm going to combine him with Jokic tomorrow night. Jokic's number is like 50.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He had like 70 in the last game. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you understand, 27 points, 20 boards, and 10 assists. So I'm already making my plays for Thursday. So make sure you get into the game, download the Prize Picks app, use our code. Great friends. They'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. And I really, really want you guys to get in and play and then share your picks with me. I will play your picks on Prize Picks. Our guys at Mushroom Life, Brett Weiss and crew. I say it this way. When we needed somebody to step up and get us going with this Browner fund, Brett Weiss put in the first $500. He put in the last $324 to get us to $15,000. He loves the show. He's part of the team. If you've never tried mushroom coffee, this is called Life Brew, and you'll save 20% by using our code KLYFE, KLIFE20, when you go to lifebrew.com. He's also got all these incredible mushroom products that are all natural. They're not intended to get you high, although he does have that Mind Bender product, and that will get you fucked up, okay? So go to mushroomlife.com or go to lifebrew.com and put in the notes that you're a great friend, and he's going to make sure he sends you a little extra goodies. And then just lastly, let me mention my guy, Gary Cooper, Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299. Like I always tell you, never make a move in real estate without first talking to Gary. You're thinking about buying a house right now. You're thinking about selling a house and getting out of the state. You're thinking about, I got a lot of equity. I need to refinance. I got some debt. It's not the greatest time, but it's what I need to do right now. Talk to Gary Cooper at Mountain Trust Realty, 858-376-1299. All right, we got a great show coming up. Let's get to it. great friends. What's going on? It is Wednesday afternoon. Kaplan and crew hitting the airwaves of 1090. So broadcasting on traditional terrestrial radio. Get in your car, turn us on. There we are. You expect it. We're here. So everywhere, home base San Diego, Orange County, LA, up to Grande's hometown, Oxnard, Santa Barbara, and into the Central Coast. And so glad to have everybody who's a radio listener, all of our YouTube viewers and listeners. Hey guys, we are trending towards getting to that 10,000 mark of 10,000 subscribers. We're at like 8,200 and change. So make sure you subscribe, share, comment, get involved in the YouTube chat, thumbs up. I mean, some of you guys might say thumbs down, all good. So for everybody that's getting into our YouTube chat right now, glad you guys are here. TV viewers on Cox Your View, tonight will be plastered all over TV between 7 and 8 p.m. And then our audio podcasters, you guys are doing it on your own time. Glad everybody is here. Got Grande, Enton the Brown Man, and it's a Wednesday afternoon. Fellas, I would love to start today with something that's hyper-local. And I'm not talking about the Padres per se. We will get to the Padres. And what I thought was a really, really bad loss last night to a very bad Colorado team. We'll get there in just a second. And we have a great show coming up today. Eric Williams from Fox Sports will be here. We're going to talk a bunch of NFL draft with Eric Williams. And I've been saying since the beginning of the year, we'll start veering into different directions. Today, we have a gentleman coming on the show. His name is Greg Scheinman. And he's going to talk to us about a book that he's written called The Midlife Male. And I think a lot of you guys are going to get value out of this because I know I'm excited to talk to Greg because the things that he talks about on social media are things that are really resonating with me. And we'll get to all of that coming up in just a little bit. Grande, Brown Man, how are we feeling today, fellas?
Fantastic.
I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little bit disappointed. I ain't gonna lie.
Why? Because Kawhi came back last night? Oh, I thought you were gonna tell me about Kawhi coming back last night.
No. I'm straight to business, bro. I'm a little disappointed in Michael King, man. You cost me some units.
Oh, bro.
Last night, Michael King. You cost me a lot of units last night, Michael King. Just the Grand Slam, I'm not that mad about. You know, it's Coors Field. You know, a little pop fly can turn into something over the wall. But brother, you got it. When you get two strikes on some of these jokers, you got to punch the ticket, man. You got to punch the ticket, Michael King.
Yeah, I was disappointed in Fernando Tatis last night. I had him on Prize Picks for half of an RBI, and he scored and he hit. He just didn't drive in any runs. And yeah,
I've got a little trick that I use for baseball picks: hits, runs, RBIs.
Hits, runs, RBIs. Oh, yep. So like points, rebounds, assists on basketball.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Like that. Yes. I like that. Yes. Okay.
I love it. That and walks. That and total bases. Hits, runs, and RBIs, and then total bases. Those are my two things.
Yeah. I got last night. I just got annihilated on Prize Picks all because of basketball. You know, I was watching that Minnesota Phoenix game and I had Karl Anthony Towns to get to 14 and a half points on a Taco Tuesday discount. That didn't happen for me. Who else did I have? What's the kid's name? He's the big star player there with the crazy Minnesota? Dunks. Yeah. With the crazy Anthony dunks, Edwards. Anthony Edwards, that kid, I had him to score like 25 and a half. He didn't really do much last night all because, you know, what's the kid's name? Jaden Daniels. No. Is that the quarterback? What's the kid's name?
McDaniel.
Yeah, the kid whose brother played at San Diego State. Mm-hmm. Alex, what was the guy's name who played at San Diego State? He was Jalen McDaniels. This was the little brother who I want to say played at like Washington. He had a big night last night for Minnesota. So the other guys didn't really have to have such big nights. But I got beat up last night on Prize Picks. I will acknowledge that. All right, but let me say this. I want to start off very local this morning, a very local story. Yeah, not Padre related. I was very happy to get an ESPN notification on my phone this morning at about like 5:45 a.m. I don't even know why my phone was on. I don't know. Listen, it's the same reason my computer's still on that I haven't turned off. When the phone rings, it makes this loud noise. My phone starts going like this at 5:45 in the morning. I'm like, what the hell? Like breaking news already? I'm not even awake yet. 5:45. I grab my phone. I look and I see the story of how Reggie Bush is going to receive his Heisman Trophy. He's getting it back and USC is getting it back. And I will tell you, I'm very, very happy, not just for Reggie Bush because he's from the 619 and Helix High School. And I've known Reggie Bush since he's a junior in high school. I mean, it's going back that long. I've gotten to see the whole thing, as I'm sure so many other people have. High school career, insane. USC career, incredible. Heisman Trophy winner, NFL, the different teams that he played for, and now even as a Fox broadcaster. Super Bowl champ, right? Fox broadcaster. I mean, I've gotten to see Reggie Bush go from little boy to grown-ass man, okay? So I'm very happy for Reggie on a personal level. I'm happy for USC because they get what was earned back into their trophy case. So I'm happy for those guys because I was a huge USC fan during that era. But more importantly, I think I'm happy that the committee, the governing body, if you will, the NCAA, the Heisman Trophy folks, that they've shown enough flexibility to know that the world has changed. You know, what Reggie Bush got in trouble for so many years ago, and I can remember Billy Ray and I covering that story up and down, man. We were on that story every day. It was huge news in San Diego. But the world has changed. And what Reggie Bush did back then, getting this house and, you know, taking extra benefits, yeah, it was against the NCAA rules back then. But the world has changed. The world has evolved. College sports, NIL, transfer portal, all this stuff, love it or not love it, it doesn't matter. The world has changed and the rules are different now. And so if the rules have adjusted, then they should say, you know what? What he did back then was against the rules. He was penalized for it. USC was penalized for it. But since the rules have changed the way they have, let's give him back what he rightfully earned. And so for that, I'm happy for Reggie Bush. Browner, you just made a face. You don't like it.
I think I thought the entire thing was dumb. But if you're gonna now equate modern day rules to, you know, give him his trophy back, then you should never take anybody's trophy away. You need to reinstate all the wins that you've taken away from certain people because of actions that the team took, because guys took money. The Fab Five in Michigan should no longer be considered, you know, being on the, you know, the red list or whatever the NCAA has for penalizing people for guys taking money. Like, they should have never taken Reggie Bush's Heisman away. They should have never not allowed him to be a part of these festivals, these celebrations. Reggie Bush is probably the greatest running back in the history of college football. Like,
I don't know about that. It's up modern he's day. Up there. He's up there for sure. I mean, he's up there. But listen, I agree with
modern
you.
Modern day Reggie Bush is that
nothing.
We haven't seen anything like that in a long time.
Nope. I mean, they
probably
were
since Reggie Bush, we haven't seen stuff right. like what he did from the running back position.
I mean, they were he was great. They had not only did they have Reggie Bush, who was the other running back that USC
Lendell White.
You know, and they had a great quarterback in Leinart, and they had a great coach in Pete Carroll, and it was a really amazing era of USC football. And I'll never forget the night that Billy Ray and I got into a limousine with Donnie Edwards. Shout out to Donnie Edwards, Jim Harbaugh. Shout out to Coach Harbaugh, and a gentleman named Mike Finley. Shout out to Mike, who at the time Mike worked, I want to say, for a company called Nextel, and Mike had all the hookups, man. And so the five of us
walkie cell phone.
Did you have one of those walkie talkie cell phones?
My first ever cell phone was a Nextel walkie-talkie cell phone.
I love those.
Where you at?
Yeah, I love those. Yep.
Where you at?
Right. Yeah, right. I love the walkie-talkie cell phone from Nextel. So Mike Finley put me, Billy Ray, Jim Harbaugh, and Donnie Edwards in a limousine, and we drove to the Rose Bowl, and we saw the Texas-USC Rose Bowl that night where Vince Williams went off, right? And Vince Young. Gosh, my names today. I've been screwing
last
up names.
Two days, so the
last 2 days, I've been having a hard time. Vince Young scored that, you know, had
I'll
an amazing
never,
game. Reggie
I'll
Bush's
never
fumble.
Forget that. And the guy that missed the tackle on Vince Young was from Oxnard, Josh Pinker.
Really?
Safety from Wainemi High School.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is Browner, I'm with you. I mean, Alex, if you start to go through some of this Reggie Bush stuff, I mean, you see a picture of Reggie Bush, you know, standing there with his Heisman Trophy, and you go, hey, that young man right there, he earned that Heisman Trophy. We're looking at this picture from back in 2005.
That's the thing, too, where I just get pissed off about the whole thing is just, it's so, first of all, y'all know I don't like the NCAA at all. Like, you guys know that I think college football is the stupidest thing in sports in America. Like, there is no governing body. They can call themselves whatever, but they're stupid. Anyways, what Reggie Bush did was illegal. Fine. But how did that impact him on the field? How did that impact Reggie Bush on the field? How did that impact Pete Carroll on the field? How did that impact anybody on the field?
And why does everybody else have to pay the penalty for what one guy did that the NCAA at the time deemed against the rules?
Which leads me to my next point of vacating anything in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. It's the stupidest thing. Like what? We're all going to forget that USC, what they did that year. Like, oh no. And when you go to the hall, and I forget what it's called at USC, and Browner, cover yours, to see like OJ's there, Heisman. But like Reggie can't be there because he got a house in the Helix.
Yeah.
All right.
Like
man,
it was the stupidest thing. Congrats to Reggie. And I'm actually a little upset because every time this came up, it gave me an opportunity to rail the NCAA. And now it's like one less thing. Mm-hmm. But they'll keep adding
things for us.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Bone, who was the San Diego State athletic director, then he left and I think he went to Colorado and then he was at Cincinnati and then he came back to USC. And, you know, I was friends with Mike for a long time, still am, and was with him at a Laker game probably about a month ago or so. And Mike Bone had put this in motion. I'm not saying that Mike is responsible for getting Reggie his Heisman back. I'm just saying that as the athletic director at USC, Mike knew that this was an emotional pain point for USC people. And he was working behind the scenes to get this done. I'm not giving him full, credit for it. I'm just saying that when he had the clout as SC athletic director, he was definitely pushing on this. Alex, why don't you show us the press release, I guess it is, from the Heisman Trust and what they said about giving Reggie his Heisman back. Why don't you go ahead and read it for us today?
The trust decision to reinstate the trophy follows a deliberative process in which it closely monitored the enormous changes in the college football landscape, including the Supreme Court's 2021 decision, which questioned the legality of the NCAA's amateurism model and opened the door to student-athlete compensation. The ability of college football players to be paid for their name, image, and likeness, and the NCAA's recent proposal to remove the cap on education-related payments, recognizing that the compensation of student-athletes is an accepted practice and appears here to stay, these fundamental changes in college athletics led the trust to decide that it's now the right time to return the trophy to Bush, who unquestionably was the most outstanding college football player of 2005.
He sure was, man. He sure was. And I'll tell you, man,
I hate them so much.
We as San Diegans, though, we
what does something in 2021 have to do with 2000? It's so stupid. It's so stupid, man. Like the dude broke a rule. That's fine.
Right.
Why use this as an excuse? It was stupid from the beginning. You should have said that in the statement. We made a mistake back then. We're acknowledging our mistake now. Here you go. Like, don't use this current. I'm sorry. I'm upset. It's just so stupid. Because
it's okay.
So dumb that they even took it from him in the first place.
It is dumb. But this is the way I started this whole thing. The world has changed. Mm-hmm. Now that college football players can transfer as many times as they want to, seemingly. They can enter into this portal where now everybody can go pluck and pick from other schools. And guys are leaving not because of playing time. They're leaving. I'm leaving this school because I can make more money at that school. And so because the world of college football has changed and because people, like I just mentioned, Mike Bone, were behind the scenes. And I'll guarantee you also that the people at Fox were behind this as well. Because Reggie Bush is a Fox guy.
He don't work there no more.
He has worked there for a long time, had he not? Yeah, I don't know Reggie's work schedule.
Fox pregame.
Okay.
Mark Ingram took over.
Okay. Well, Reggie was there for a long time. I guarantee you that Fox for years was probably pushing. Didn't Reggie also do commercials for Wendy's? And hasn't Wendy's had something to do with some sort of sponsorship with college football, I think?
Yes.
So all I'm saying is that there were a lot of reasons why there was pressure to say to the committee, to say to the trust, hey, dude. The world changed, man. People are getting paid now. What Reggie Bush did back then, yes, it was considered against the rules. Today, it would be considered no problem. So why don't we just do what's right?
Now it's a recruiting pitch.
Right.
Hey, we'll get you a house for your mom. You want to come?
Yeah. We'll pay you a couple $100,000. You'll be able to buy your own house. Yeah. I don't know what Reggie does now since you guys just reminded me that he's not on Fox anymore. But I do know this. I see him posting a lot of videos about his golf game. So maybe now he's got all this time and he's got all this money and he can just enjoy the good life. But I'll tell you guys this. When Reggie Bush was in the height of his fame, remember, There were no Rams in LA. There were no Chargers in LA.
Oh, yeah.
There was no NFL to be found in LA. And yeah. USC football was it. You know,
I'll say this. Yeah. We, because I was in that area, we didn't need the NFL back then.
Yeah.
USC was doing such a good job of quenching that thirst of football. They were the show. You know, they were the team of LA.
Dude, they had Pete Carroll. They had Reggie Bush. They had Lendell White. They had Matt Leiner. And by the way,
started with Carson Palmer.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly right. And they even had on the defensive side, I'm trying to remember, they had
Ray Maluga.
Uh-huh. But there was Clay.
Ray Maluga. There's another dude that
there were three linebackers. Man. There were three linebackers for the USC football team. Clay, his father and his uncle.
Clay Matthews.
Okay. Was it Clay Matthews or either way? They had three linebackers on those USC defensive side. And they had other NFL players, you know, scattered all over the place. But they had three mm-hmm. guys that were all superstar linebackers for USC. And then I think they all went into the NFL together and they were all immediately successful.
Brian Cushing.
That's who it was. All right. So here's the thing. Reggie Bush was such a big star.
Taylor Mays. Was he back on that team? That might have been after.
No, because Pete Carroll went to the NFL after that, and he was a safety, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Pete Carroll didn't draft him, and everybody was like, what? Right.
They also had
Earl
a bunch
Thomas
of
Thomas instead.
They had a bunch of defensive linemen. They had a bunch of defensive.
Made right choice.
Yeah. But Reggie Bush was such a big star. Let me tell you something. Frosty Rucker.
Frosty Rucker.
Yeah, about that.
Cedric Ellis. Yeah. I'm looking at the roster now. Now I remember. Yeah, Fred Davis, the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Their receivers were legit too because they had like Mike Williams. Remember him? How good he was?
Yep, right.
Remember he went pro after Dwayne
Jarrett. Yeah, Dwayne Jarrett, Steve Smith. That team was freaking stacked, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were so big though. They were so popular, and Reggie Bush was such a big star in San Diego because he wore the 619 paint, the eye paint. I can remember going. This is me and Party with Marty. Okay. This is probably 2004, 2005. I'm guessing it's the 2005 year that he won the Heisman Trophy. We actually drove one night to LA to go to USC practice to record an interview with Reggie Bush for what was way back then called Scott and BR TV. And I think we may have found this on YouTube. So think about this. This is 20 years ago. This video you're about to see and the audio you're about to hear, this is 20 years ago, 2004, 2005, I drive up to LA to go to USC football practice to go see Reggie Bush. I have no idea what we're about to hear. Let's play.
All right, Reggie, so you're up here at SC, and everybody back home is thinking that San Diego is going to get another Heisman Trophy winner. What do you think about that?
Hopefully I can live up to expectations. Hope y'all can bring it home, man. That'll be a great honor for me, for the city of San Diego. And hopefully we can do it.
Now, every week you wear this eye black that says 619. You're representing the 619. I got to tell you, those of us that live in the 858 and the 760, we're very offended by this. Well, you got a problem with the 858?
Nah, I mean, 858, that's they just came out. 858, that's new school. 619 is old school. So everybody knows I'm just representing the home. That's just, that's just me remembering where I came from. You know, just me saying hi and just letting people know I'm not going to forget where I came from.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, Reggie didn't go north of the 8 either. Yeah, shout out.
By the way, did you notice I was wearing a wedding ring by the
No, I noticed your hair is the same color though.
Bro, magic. I'll tell you right now. I just looked at that and I realized if that's 20 years old, I'm 34 years old in that video right there. Yeah. 34 years old.
How'd it make you feel? You were Alex's age in that video.
You tell me this. Do I look that different then to now, 20 years later? How different do I look from then to now?
Pretty different.
Do I look that different?
Pretty different.
Really? My hair color is the exact same, even though now it requires some hair polish.
Manufactured now, though.
Right.
Is that the right word? Manufactured.
You got the beard going.
I got a little goatee going right now, and it's a good thing I do because I have a massive zit right here in the middle of my chin. And bro, if I shave this thing, by the way, I do have fewer chins in that picture.
You like a young fella though. You look solid. You look solid.
All right, if we're gonna add like the forehead's a little smaller.
But we're not gonna get into that.
The hairline changed a little.
The hairline's a little closer.
As they say, you lost a couple inches on the first down when it comes to the hairline.
Yeah,
so.
But yeah, you don't look different. You don't look that off.
I don't look that different.
Nah. You're recognizable. It looked like you. That looks like you.
Yeah, it does.
All right, well, let me say this. We got a great show coming your way today. We really do have a great show. I'm very excited about today.
I'm mad about something else, too.
Okay. Well, Eric Williams is going to join us coming up next. Is that right, Alex?
Yes.
Okay. Eric Williams on the way. He's going to talk to us about the NFL draft. And Eric Williams from FoxSports.com will be here. And then for those of you that are like me and you're now considered middle-aged, stick around because later on, a gentleman by the name of Greg Scheinman, who talks about what life is or should be like for middle-aged guys. And I'm telling you, we're going to take the show this year in a little bit different directions at times. Could be men's health, could be financial health, could be all kinds of different kind of stuff this year. And yes, we'll get back to the Padres like everybody else in San Diego. We will talk about that. Stick around. We're just getting rolling. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. This is Kaplan and Crew. All right, great friends. Hey, what's happening? It is Wednesday afternoon. This is Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. Coming up this segment, Eric Williams from FoxSports.com will be here. We're going to talk a bunch about the NFL draft. And I suppose that the story of this draft, as it usually is, it's always about the quarterbacks and it's about the skill guys, but this year is different. I mean, there are just so many quarterbacks that are expected to be first-round draft choices. And, you know, of course, you think about historical drafts, and if I go back to the 1983 draft, I know I'm getting old, but you know, when you think about all the quarterbacks that were taken that year, Marino, Elway, Jim Kelly, and I'm forgetting others, but you know, that's what that draft is all about. That's what this draft may be all about. I will say this segment of Kaplan and Crew being brought to us by our friends at Blenders Eyewear. If you go to the store in Encinitas or the store in PB and you use our code Kaplan, you'll save 20% on your Blenders. My man Bernard Thompson was down at the PB store this past weekend, and he's walking around to everybody in the store. Hey, use the code Kaplan. Hey, use the code Kaplan. Hey, you want to save 20%? Use the code Kaplan. Hooked it up, you know? And so whether you're using BlendersEyewear.com or you're in store, you will save 20% on the best sunglasses. I mean, you talk about like polarized lenses, incredibly fashionable frames, and inexpensive enough that you can buy 5-6 pairs of them. Blenders Eyewear and BlendersEyewear.com. All right, you guys ready? Eric Williams is standing by. Eric, good afternoon. Welcome back. How are you?
Good to be here, fellas. Doing good. Ready for the draft here in 24 hours and looking forward to this weekend's festivities.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, before we get started on the draft, we just were talking in the opening segment about Reggie Bush getting his Heisman Trophy back. What do you think about that?
It's due, obviously. It should have never been taken away from him to begin with. Glad that he's able to get it back where it should be. And then, you know, hopefully this is a sign of things to come. You know, the college is a business. And, you know, we should be treating it as such. And so, you know, rewards like this, where it was earned on the field, shouldn't have been taken away to begin with based on what had happened, in my opinion, and glad that he's finally getting it back.
We dug up video from 20 years ago when Reggie was at SC and Billy Ray and I were kind of, you know, I would say still relatively early in our radio show development. And I drove up to LA to interview Reggie Bush. And I am convinced, Eric, that 20 years later, I look exactly the same. Do you feel like if you looked at a picture of yourself from 20 years ago, do you think you look the same?
I don't know if the video says that. I know I don't look the same. I wish I did, but I don't think that's the case. You know, the interesting thing about the Bush thing with Reggie, you know, 20 years ago, looking at that house and now living in this area and being in that, you know, it's not like it was like a mansion, you know, when you consider the home and things like that. It's just kind of funny to think about that, you know, and how big a deal it was being made of during that time.
There were a lot of complications to the story. It was not just, as I recall, again, it was 20 years, but it was like, hey, he got this house. And then there was more to the story, like his cousin or sister or somebody was like a news anchor at Channel 10. And then there was some dude that was involved and he was kind of unscrupulous. I mean, there was just a lot of weird characters that were, but in the final analysis, really, it all came down to one thing. Reggie Bush was a superstar college football player. Somebody hooked him up, which at the time that violated the rules. And all these years later, the rules have all changed. So they finally gave him what was his that he earned on the field. Good thing they did. He deserved it. He deserved to get it back. Eric Williams from FoxSports.com is with us to talk NFL draft. So, I mean, the draft is about these quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, number one overall, in all likelihood, to Chicago, which, you know, Browner's now a Steelers fan because that's where Justin Fields is.
Okay.
But he's only going to be there for a year because, you know, they didn't offer him, you know, they didn't look to extend his contract, you know.
He's going to earn it. Don't worry about that. You ain't got to bring that up. He's going to earn that money. Anybody worried about that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because I feel like Eric Williams' guy is Russell Wilson compared to your guy, Justin Fields. I'm not sure. I want to put that on you, Eric, but.
I never heard Eric say that.
Yeah. Well, but he covered Seattle for a long time.
I don't know if I'm going to be on the, I don't know if I'm going to be on the Russell Wilson train there. Although I do hope that he does well.
They're both on 1 year deals, right? Like basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Best player will play, I think, is how they're going to handle that. And I would have to lean towards Fields at this point of his career.
I would too, but it seems like all the consideration is going to Russell Wilson. So start off with Caleb Williams. Look, in all these pro days and in all the scouting, really everybody thinks Caleb Williams is the first overall pick. And you get to this week and you find, you know, unnamed scouts that are just trying to tear him down. You know, I don't like the way he paints his nails. Okay. I don't like the way he cries to his mom after losing a game. All right. I think ultimately, though, Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick. What do you say?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's clearly the best quarterback in this year's draft. And like you said, when you get closer to the draft, these are the things that kind of, you know, start to come out. You know, we saw it with CJ Stroud last year with all the stuff that was out in the S2 test and you're really trying to like poke holes into these prospects. But Caleb is clearly the top player. I know, Cap, you were at his pro day and thought he threw the ball well, you know, just kind of confirmed what we saw, you know, over the last couple of years he's been at SC. One thing I will say, though, is there seems to be a little bit of Russell Wilson vibes in terms of his personality. And that would be a little concerning, you know, in terms of how he's going to fit with culture and all of that, because he seems to be a little bit standoffish in terms of how he handles himself. And so, you know, I would be a little bit concerned about that. But in terms of his play on the field, I think he's going to be an upgrade. In my opinion, in terms of the offense they're going to run there, and so we'll see how he performs.
When was the last time a quarterback went into has there ever been a quarterback go into a better situation than what they has in Chicago right now?
With the number one, the Bears.
No, the Bears have pretty much set them up to exceed and excel right away. Like there should be no excuses, right? What they win 7 games last year.
Yeah, you know, they weren't a 1 or 2 win team. I
mean, if Caleb doesn't win 7, doesn't that look like a red flag already with that roster?
Yeah, 7 is definitely the over or under. I mean, he should be 9 or 10 with the roster and everything that they have, and then you know, including what they're going to be able to draft this year. It's set up for him to succeed. So you're right. If he doesn't succeed, you know, it's going to be an indictment on him.
Yeah.
My only worry about Caleb Williams is from a personality perspective, because I think that the roster upgrades will absolutely put him ahead of any rookie that's ever been in that position. The thing that I worry about is the way that Justin Fields was so beloved amongst the players that are still in that locker room, the personality that he has to overcome. As a passer, yeah, he's probably a better passer than Justin Fields immediately. But from a personal aspect, will he be able to have the camaraderie that Justin Fields had with the guys? Because that matters. That absolutely matters. And especially for a rookie coming in, I think his ability to win those guys over off the field, now it'll be easier if he balls out. Guys will do whatever he wants to do. But if he's like in the middle of the road, it's going to be difficult for him.
Browner, you just said it at the end. If he balls out, it doesn't matter. And having covered Seattle when Russell was there, Russell was a lot different in terms of personality and where he came from than a lot of other players in that locker room. But because he played so well, none of that stuff really mattered. Mm-hmm. And the only thing you're going to see is if he has to overcome some adversity and they do start out 2-4, something like that, then you're going to hear some rumblings from the locker room like, hey, this guy isn't like Justin Fields. We're not really connecting with him. But yeah, if they start out 4-1, I think they'll be fine.
Eric Williams is here from FoxSports.com. We're talking NFL draft, which happens tomorrow. It is funny you said, though, that Caleb Williams has what you would call Russell Wilson vibes. I said that when he was at SC, and gosh, you would think that I insulted him so badly. Look, all I was saying was he's driving a fancy car. He's living in a fancy condo, okay? And he is here. He's way, way, way up here in this financial stratosphere. When the rest of his teammates, I mean, there may be an NIL deal here or there, but nobody's living a multi-million dollar lifestyle like Caleb Williams was. And it was Caleb Williams, like they fly him in for games almost, you know? And so I agree. There is a Russell Wilson sort of diva personality question about Caleb Williams. And Browner, I think you bring up interesting points. You know, can he connect with teammates? Will he be the same guy in the NFL where everybody's getting paid that he was when he was at SC? I think those are good questions.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not too. Let me ask you this.
I'm a Vikings fan. That's why I hope. Caleb fan today, Caleb hater tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
After Caleb goes number one, presumably, every mock draft seems to think that Washington at 2 will take the LSU Heisman Trophy quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Do you concur with that?
Well, I was going to ask you, Scott. I mean, what are you hearing from your boy in New England there? I mean, you got the inside scoop.
It's so funny.
When did you say you were going to start calling him?
So yesterday he and I had a plan to talk yesterday afternoon, and then he got called into a meeting, which, you know, okay, fine. And then this morning we communicated. I said, hey, I'm working around you. Let me know, because I do want to ask him a couple of things. One, I want to know, there's a lot of rumors that New England is ready to move out of the number 3 pick. And I could understand why they would do that. I'll tell you this, that Caleb is the overwhelming number one. It seems like Daniels is number 2. When it comes to Drake May, this is what I've been told. He has a kind of a funky throwing motion and something that coaches don't think they can coach out of him. So, okay, that's one thing. And then J.J. McCarthy, who I was told, had far and away the best workout, better than Caleb Williams, better than Jaden Daniels, and is considered by scouts to be the best actual thrower of the football. That J.J. McCarthy, I'm not sure he's the right guy at number 3. So I could see New England moving out of 3 and saying, you know what? We can get by with Jacoby Brissett. We're not Super Bowl champions yet. We can play a full season with Jacoby Brissett, and we could add to our roster, and we can go get quarterback the following year. That seems reasonable to me. What do you think?
All that makes sense. From what I've heard, rumblings, I think Jaden would have liked to have gone to the Raiders or perhaps the Vikings. And I don't think he had warm and fuzzies about being part of that group that went to the pre-draft visit where they had 4 different quarterbacks there with Washington. I think that upset him a little bit.
You guys hear about this, Alex Browner? Mm-hmm. You guys hear about this story? They took the 4 quarterbacks other than Caleb Williams, and they took them to a Top Golf, and they had them playing golf at a Top Golf as if to say, okay, let's take a look at who you guys are when you're out here and how competitive you are. And it just seemed like, you know, that didn't seem cool, I don't think.
I think it sounds like a Dan Quinn move.
Yeah.
Perhaps it was a move by the people that are in ownership that are involved in the process with the 76ers and are kind of bringing that kind of evaluation and mindset when they evaluate, you know, this team with Washington.
I didn't have a problem with it, because what I want and what I need this particular organization, not the Patriots, not the Bears, for the Commanders, what I need for this organization, I need an alpha. And amongst the alphas, who's the alpha? That's what we need. And if we think that Jaden Daniels is close to Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, if we think these guys are pretty close talent-wise, We need an alpha. We need a face of the organization. And so I want to get all y'all together and see who's who and see what's what. And I think that had more to do with it than anything because they have nothing. That team has nothing.
But Jaden Daniels,
maybe he tanked it on purpose. He was like,
But maybe him, obviously him wanting to go to the Raiders is because, you know, Antonio Pierce was like the recruiting coordinator at Arizona State when they got him out of high school.
Right.
And so, so what do you think happens at number two then, Eric?
I think they take him at number two. I think Jaden just wanted to be treated like Caleb. Caleb is obviously the clear guy that Chicago's going to take. And I think he wanted similar treatment from Washington. And when he wasn't receiving that, and you know, you're a diva, you're a QB, and you're not receiving that from the team that you're projected to go to, I think there could be some hurt feelings there, but I think those would be smoothed over. I think he's a great fit for what they want to do there with Cliff Kingsbury, who, you know, coached Kyler Murray and similar skill set, you know, and like you guys said, they don't have a whole lot. So he's going to have to run around a little bit use his feet. And so he has the skill set to do that. So I think he makes sense at two. And then, like you said, Kaplan, I think at three, I don't think May's ready to play.
That's when the draft starts.
Maybe the Patriots do want to get out of there and drop a couple to just get the best player available instead of being tied into getting a quarterback and another team that really needs a quarterback like the Giants or Vikings could actually move up to three. And then maybe it's not May. Maybe it's McCarthy.
Two or three of these guys are going to bomb. Two or three of them are going to bomb.
That's been proven.
The Patriots are in a prime position to be one of the bomb teams because they don't have a lot of round. They're the perfect team to trade down and just kind of figure it out with the rest of their roster before they get to the quarterback, because there'll be a couple of guys available because the Patriots will be bad next year. So therefore, you'll still be in the mix with extra bullets in the gun if you make the right decision to trade back.
But what if
they just went through it with Mac Jones as well? I mean, I think that's part of that.
But what if they don't? What if it's 2020 all over again? What if it's Burrow to Herbert all over again? You know, like, we don't know. That's what I've been saying this for. Since the football season is over. Like, who knows who's going to be good? Just because Caleb goes first, don't mean he's going
to
be good.
Look what it took for people to kind of maybe be sold on Tua.
Well, because he got hurt a lot. He got hurt a lot in the early part of his career.
And there we go. No one's really sold on Tua. He's still got to figure it out. And look at the weapons they had to put around him just to, like, maybe.
Yeah. I bring up Herbert, Eric, because Vegas knows something that we all kind of assume.
Stop it. Go ahead. I'm going to participate in this
match. The Chargers are going to trade out of the fifth pick, which is why the odds of J.J. McCarthy going fifth have increased so significantly. Mm-hmm. What is it going to take? I mean, right, they're going to trade out, right? They're not going to – I think from all the everything I've read, I don't know what you've heard. Like, Harbaugh wants a lineman. He wants to protect Herbert. He wants to get a guy in there. What's going on with the Chargers at five?
Yeah, I was up there for Joe Ortiz, presser, GM for the Chargers, and he was saying in no explicit terms, like, we would like to move out, but if we are going to move out, it's not going to be a fair trade. It has to be more than fair, which means we want the value of what it's going to take to trade up and select a quarterback, or else they're going to stick and pick. And so I think, you know, he's obviously putting the "we're open" sign in terms of, you know, doing business. I think it makes sense, you know, just like the Cardinals last year trading out of number three down to 12 and then moving up to six to get Paris Johnson and getting more picks. I think for the Chargers, you want more bites at the apple. I think they have 9 picks because they got the fourth rounder from the Bears, but I think they only have 2 day 2 picks. So I think they'd like to get 1 or 2 more day two picks, because that generally is the sweet spot of the draft where you're going to get guys that are coming and can play for you. So I think it makes sense to trade down from five. I don't think necessarily offensive line. Obviously, no Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, pretty good receiver draft. Might make sense to take a receiver if you're going to move down.
Yeah, while Browner's talking, put up on the screen, Alex, for everybody, what the Chargers have in terms of picks and what the Rams have in terms of picks, because the Rams are normally not, they don't usually have as many picks. Go ahead, Brown, because I want everybody to see this while you're talking. Go ahead.
The interpretation about the Chargers at number five, from my understanding, the way that Vegas is, what Alex was discussing, is that that pick is being seen as J.J. McCarthy, even if it is the Chargers. And to me, that smoke, I would take that bet against anybody.
Is there any way? I'll ask it this way. Is there any way the Chargers draft a player they have no intention of keeping?
Do they really do that in the NFL? They do that in the NBA. I don't see the NFL do that.
Well, the Chargers did it in 2004.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Was it six? Was that the Phillip Rivers year?
Four. Four. We haven't seen it in a long time, but how about you draft? Obviously they're not going to trade Herbert. Don't get me wrong. They're already in cap hell to trade Herbert now when he hasn't even touched new money yet. It would just destroy it. But is there a chance that they draft a JJ McCarthy if he's there and then just find a suitor for JJ McCarthy?
No, I think that's getting cute. I think if they'll have a deal in place when they're ready to pick at five, I think they've already had conversations with other teams about parameters, what it would take, to move off that pick and what they would get in return. So I think they probably already have a pretty good idea. And I don't think they're going to pick JJ McCarthy. I think they would be moving out for somebody to come up and pick him at five. And I do think that the Vikings make the most sense.
I do love the Vegas odds, though, on it. Odds for the fifth pick, JJ McCarthy plus 240, Marvin Harrison Jr. plus 250, Malik Nabers plus 260, regardless of who it is. I mean, Drake May plus 1400. But the point is that this is one of the picks in the draft that is very interesting. I think, Alex, you said it. The draft starts at number three. I were the Patriots, I'd get out of that pick. I'd get offensive linemen. That'd be the first thing I do is start building my team through the offensive line. I'll worry about quarterback later on, and maybe even I can find somebody in one of the later rounds.
Are either of you two going to the Rams draft house this year?
Oh.
You're going to be there?
I will be up there on Thursday, and then I'll be at Chargers on Friday.
I will be at a bar in Hermosa Beach called Hennessy's. That's where I'm doing a broadcast from on Thursday and Friday. I don't think I'll be drinking Hennessy, but I think I'll be at Hennessy's.
Little sip.
Yeah, maybe just a little sip.
Do a little bit.
Well, Eric, you're gonna have some action on Thursday. First time.
Oh, for sure. Well, Eric, do you have a few more minutes?
We think. Yeah, dude.
You have a few more. All right, hold on, everybody. Let's do this. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studio, 7milecasino.com. Eric's got a few more minutes. We're talking draft. Let's kind of go through a little bit more of it. Eric's got some extra time. Let's do this. Stick around. This is Kaplan and Crew. More draft talk with Eric Williams next. All right, great friends, a little halftime report here. And again, I just want to ask everybody to do us this favor, which is go to our website, kaplanandcrew.com. Why? What are you going to do there? Number one, everything is there. YouTube videos, Instagram posts, Twitter posts, everything that we do is available on our website. Secondly, all of the great partners that we talk about or that flash over my back on the monitors, every partnership is there on our website. So if you say, hey, you know what? I don't remember the phone number for Gary Cooper, Mountain Trust. You go there and you click on it. You say, hey, I want to go there and I want to get some of that mushroom coffee you guys talk about all the time. You can go to our website and you can click on that listing. My point is that if you ever need anything show related, it's all right there. And then lastly, our merch shop is open. Now, our merch shop, I will say, is not exactly freshened up. I admit it. Okay. Now, I'm wearing this hoodie today and I love this hoodie. And you can get these hoodies on our website. So if you go to kaplanandcrew.com, the merch shop is open. Hats, hoodies, all the way down to baby onesies and fanny packs. And I'm telling you right now, we don't make any real money from this. Okay. We just want you guys to be brand ambassadors. Right. I think last month, in fact, I think I told you this yesterday, I think I got a $33 payment to the show's bank account, $33. That was our cut of how much merch was purchased and created and shipped. So obviously not that much, but if you go to our merch shop and you buy our stuff, you can get out there and be a Kaplan and Crew brand ambassador and we would appreciate it. All right, let's do it. Second half of the show. Here we go. All right, great friends. Hey, it is Wednesday afternoon. Tomorrow is the NFL draft. This is Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. Eric Williams from FoxSports.com is with us. We're talking draft. We've been talking about the quarterbacks in the draft. We were getting to the number three pick with the Patriots. Do they move out? Do they stay? Is that when the draft really starts? Then the Chargers at five, even though we've missed at four. What's going on there? So you know, we're talking a lot of draft. Before we keep going here, hey, have you guys looked at all, Alex and Browner? Have you guys looked at Prize Picks? Can you, is there any sort of play on the draft tomorrow on Prize Picks? I actually haven't looked because I've been so busy on basketball and baseball on Prize Picks. And then, by the way, I've already made my play for tomorrow. I got Luke Littler tomorrow to throw more than 3.5 180s. Browner, he always wins for me.
He does.
I've combined him with LeBron James to go for more than 41.5 points, rebounds, and assists. And I've put that together with Jokic to go for more than 50.5 points, rebounds, and assists. So I'm already getting my picks together for tomorrow, but I don't know. I mean, I wonder, is there anything draft related on Prize Picks? There isn't.
Okay. I don't see any.
I don't know how you would play it. I was just wondering. Make sure you download that Prize Picks app. Use our code Great Friends. They'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. And listen, I'm giving you a free pick, man. Luke Littler, that guy scores 3 180s every time he plays darts.
Easy money.
Eric, I don't know if you, Eric Williams is here. I don't know if you know anything about darts. You know anything about darts?
No, nothing about darts. I'm learning.
Yeah. Well, there's this kid. His name is Luke Littler, and he's a 17-year-old dart throwing phenom. And every week they play darts on Thursday. It's kind of like Monday Night Football. They play darts on Thursday in Europe somewhere. And
Luke, the nuke.
Littler. In Europe somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere in Europe, you know. I don't know, in a pub somewhere, right?
in Europe somewhere.
Yo, have you ever seen like pro darts, like arenas or whatever they're called? Like they're, the people get wild up in there, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
So Luke Littler, he always throws for more than 3.5 180s. So I got him tomorrow. I'm putting him together with Joker and with LeBron. So
Premier League darts, baby.
Yeah. Hey, we left off in the last segment by asking Eric if he was going to be at the Rams draft house. The Rams apparently, for the draft, have rented, and they do this every year, it seems like.
By the way, they're playing at a 11,000 seat arena today.
You're kidding me.
No.
Is the Littler thing today or is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Sorry, okay. Tomorrow. At Liverpool's M&S Bank Arena. 11,000 people.
11,000 people cheering for dart throwing. Incredible. Eric, the Rams do this thing where they rent a house, a fancy house, and they call it the Rams draft house. They decorate it. You know, the coaches are there. The scouts are there. I don't know. Occasionally, maybe a player or two stops by. I mean, just all the brass is there. And I heard that they rented a $15 million house. I don't exactly know where it is. I mentioned to you that I'll be broadcasting from Hennessy's in Hermosa Beach tomorrow. Where is the Rams draft house?
Yeah, it's in Hermosa Beach as well. And I think it's just a couple blocks off of off the shoreline from where I can see. 10,000 square foot home. Obviously a pool. You know, it's
obviously a pool.
you better have a pool if it's looking like that. I went a couple years ago when they rented a house in Malibu. It's a unique experience. I think, you know, part of the reason they did it because they never had a first round pick. So they were trying to create, you know, some buzz. But this year they do have a first round pick, first time since 2016.
It's credit to the Rams. You know what else they do with those houses? And because I was at the one that they did, I think 3 years ago in Beverly Hills, they rent this house. They don't rent it for just the day or two. They rent it for a month. And then what they do is they do business meetings there. And they have like business social gatherings there. And they, you know, if you're somebody that they're recruiting to spend money with the Rams for, you know, in stadium advertising and whatever else, partnerships, they wine you and dine you at a $15 million house this year in Hermosa Beach. So I think it's a pretty smart move. It's a very Hollywood thing to do. Mm-hmm. And the Rams are trying to become, you know, the team of LA. When we look at the Rams draft choices though, and Alex put it up on the screen for a second, they got a lot of draft choices. And, you know, listen, last year, this was a team that, you know, they had a lot of young guys that they got in the draft that made their team and played. And, you know, you look at a guy like Puka Nacua, boy, did they hit a home run on a kid like that. What do you think the Rams are going to do with all these draft choices this year?
I think there's a possibility they use a couple of them to trade up. Because like you said, they had a league high 14 picks last year. A lot of those guys made the roster and were impact players for them. This year, 11 picks, which I believe is tied for a league high. They're sitting at 19. So, you know, they're probably on the outside looking in terms of players they have rated in the first round. Although both Les Snead and Sean McVay said they don't rate guys as first round picks. It's more based on need and fit in terms of, you know, where they're at with their team. But if they want to get a blue chip player, I think they're going to have to move up to do that based on where they sit. And I think they're in a good position because when you look at the depth of this year's draft, it's receivers, offensive tackle, and quarterback. They don't really need there's not an obvious need at any of those three positions for the Rams. And so they could have a blue chip defensive player either fall to them at 19, or they can move up to get a player like that, whether it's, you know, obviously Aaron Donald is gone, so defensive tackle is going to be a place they look at, edge rusher. And then, you know, I like the kid out of Iowa, Cooper DeJean, who I think could do similar things to what Jalen Ramsey did for them a couple years ago. So maybe a guy like that makes sense for them, and maybe they have to move up a couple spots to get somebody like that.
Is Cooper DeJean, just check me on this, is he the white guy defensive back?
Correct. White guy defensive back out of Iowa, also returns punts. I think he had 7 picks, 3 of them returned for touchdowns. There's been some questions on whether he can play corner at the next level because he's a little stiff in terms of being able to move his hips and turn and run with guys. But depending on scheme, I think he's a guy that could play on the perimeter for NFL defenses as well.
That's a big get for the all-white team versus the all-black team that Rashard Mendenhall gave. That's the secondary of the white team has been struggling for many years. That's a big get for them, wherever he goes.
Well,
you guys, I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, but there's like videos of this kid when he's in high school. Mm-hmm. And I think he went to high school in Iowa also. So, you know, you might look at that and you go, well, it wasn't Southern California and it wasn't South Florida. So, you know, how great was he really? But they've got
Caitlin Clark water.
But they got these videos of this kid.
That's what that was.
Yeah.
Same age range.
Right.
Same
age range. You're right.
Now you got two white ballers coming. What's in that wallet,
man? Was she born and raised in Iowa too?
I think so. I think so. But the thing is that this kid, when he was in high school, he was not only a great football player. They show him playing basketball in high school. And Browner, you talk about dunking on fools. This guy's not 6'6". He's like 6 feet tall, I think. And he is killing dudes, dunking over people. Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, that would be the obvious knock. Well, look who he's playing against. But then, hey, listen, Kobe Bryant wasn't exactly playing against inner city New York kids. You know what I'm saying? Kobe Bryant was playing against, you know, a bunch of like, you know, rich white Jewish suburban kids playing at private schools. Okay. I got news for you.
Kobe Bryant would tank the games until like the last 15 seconds so he could win.
Dude, look at this kid. Look at this kid. Well, I know you're not, but all I'm saying is look at that dunk by that kid. Look at that dunk by 2-4.
Where is the melanin on this court? Okay. That's the FPS 50 All-Stars, bro. What are we doing out here?
All I'm saying to you is the guy can jump out of the building.
Well, he was a great football player. So we're okay.
He was a great basketball player in high school. And I want to say that he's, whatever sport it was, whatever this kid touched, he was like the best athlete out there.
Won the 100 meters in the long jump and track.
Browner, I'm sure you would look at the 100 meter dash and you'd be like, come on, man.
Like I said, keep all them kids out the sun.
Ran 10-4. Ran 10-4. 10-4 is not slow.
Keep all them kids out the sun on that basketball court. That's all I'm going to say about that.
All right.
But the Rams, though, going back to that real quick, like they got to get a D tackle, right? Like they have to try and replace what, I mean, it's impossible to, but they have to try and get something.
Yeah. You know, obviously there's a huge void there with Aaron Donald retiring. I mean, if it's a guy like Murphy from Texas, he's not going to replace what they got from Donald and his ability to demand double teams, which freed other guys up along the defensive line. They have Kobe Turner, who was a finalist for Rookie of the Year, played well inside last year at nose tackle and is probably going to move over to 3-tech where Donald played. And so maybe they're looking to get a nose to replace Kobe, but it's going to be by committee. You know, they'll draft a D tackle. They'll draft an edge guy to try to fill the void.
Can I ask you one more Rams question?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell's going on with Stetson Bennett?
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Because listen, Matt Stafford, great comeback year, but still his age is his age, his body's his body. That's not going to change.
Right.
Eventually, they're going to have to maybe draft his replacement. I thought Stetson Bennett might be that guy, but then he just fell off. I don't know. What happened to him?
Had to be something related to like mental health or drugs and alcohol. I mean, the only reason I have to speculate on that is because everybody kept it so quiet. So I don't really know if, I mean, they did a great job of keeping it quiet. I can tell you that.
Yeah, I think out of respect for Stetson and kind of what he's going through, there hasn't been a lot of reporting around that or the team talking publicly about what's happened. I mean, we know it's been documented during the pre-draft process. He was arrested for a public intoxication. And I think that was something that was going on in Georgia as well. So, you know, he didn't play. He was on the non-football illness or injury list all of last season. And now he's coming back and he's in off-season work. And you know, McVay said that he's doing well and that they're going to continue to work with him. We'll see what happens in the draft to see if he still continues to be on the roster. But yeah, obviously quarterback is a position of need in terms of what's going to happen with the future of this franchise once they move on from Stafford. They signed Jimmy G as the backup, but Jimmy is suspended the first 2 weeks of the season because of what he did in Vegas.
Is there any chance that the Rams would consider moving up and getting to a point where they might be able to take a risk on a quarterback? And I say risk, I mean, a Michael Penix from Washington, a Bo Nix from Oregon, I don't know how high they would have to go up to get those guys, but would you want to have one of those kinds of guys to cultivate is all I'm asking.
I think you'd want to, but do you want to spend a first rounder, a late first rounder, early second round guy on a quarterback when you're really kind of trying to ride out the rest of Stafford's career and surround him with enough talent as possible to compete to get back to the Super Bowl? I don't know if that makes a whole lot of sense because those guys are guys that are going to sit around for a year or two. You have Jimmy G who probably can go and operate and be okay in that system. I think also we have a coach like McVay who can develop quarterbacks. I think it kind of gives you some leeway to maybe try to get a day two or day three pick like they did with Stetson to bring in and develop. Look what he was able to do with Baker Mayfield a couple of years ago. They had Carson Wentz last year. I think anytime you have an offensive mind like McVay or Kyle Shanahan, what he's doing with Brock Purdy, you don't necessarily need a blue chip first round quarterback to make that offense go.
See, I think that what they should do is take Michael Penix Jr. And here's why. When Aaron Rodgers was whining about Jordan Love, look how that worked out. When the Chiefs all had Alex Smith, look how that turned out. Mm-hmm. So what the idea that you can now take Michael Penix, yes, you're paying a high premium, but the position is so important for you to have a guy in your system grooming him, ready to go, and then be able to unleash that and just kind of keep building everything around that. I think that would be a far better plan for the Rams than to just, you know, trying to find another three technique. The opportunity to get a quarterback like Michael Penix Jr. this late in the draft with what Sean McVay can do at quarterbacks would dwarf whatever they have already in the rearview.
I will say this. Sean McVay likes old guys, not young guys. And Stafford, the last year of his guaranteed money comes off this year. And there's a quarterback out of Dallas that wants a new deal that maybe wouldn't mind playing in Los Angeles.
I would also like to remind everybody we're talking Sean McVay and future plans, dude.
That
doesn't go hand in hand, does it?
He quit every week.
He's trying to win right now. He ain't trying to win five years from now.
Right. I would not. I don't think drafting a quarterback for the Rams. I mean, it's a question, but I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, I think if you're trying to win now, you need bodies, and quarterback is not one of the bodies you need.
Mm-hmm. But rookie
need a healthy
bodies.
Cooper Kupp.
Right. Rookie bodies don't necessarily equate to that much success either at the quarterback position.
I understand what you're saying, but like for me, here's what I would do if I were the Rams. I draft all defense. Seriously. I would focus on because last year, remember, their defense was the lowest paid defense in the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. You couldn't name one guy other than Aaron Donald on that defense last year. And
it'll be the same thing this year.
Well, but what I'm saying is though, is that you have a quarterback, you have receivers, you have a running back, you've worked on your offensive line. Your head coach is an offensive guy. You lost your defensive coordinator to become a head coach in Atlanta. If I were Les Snead, my focus would be on the defensive side of the ball. That's
and
all
I think. I'm totally disagreeing with you. We all know Sean McVay loves the three wide receiver system. I'd trade up and go get Neighbors or Harrison and just go all in on offense. Go all in on offense. Outscore everybody. You got your running back. You got Puka. You hope Cooper can stay healthy. If not, look what I got. I got this new shiny toy over here. That's what I would do.
And let me address this because you tried to sneak that in, and I can't let this pass. This idea about Dak Prescott, okay? Dak Prescott. I saw what you did. I heard that. Dak Prescott only has value for the Dallas Cowboys. I cannot stress this enough. If he is not wearing that star, he is Black Kirk Cousins, okay? He's going to make a lot of money.
He's
going to make a lot of money playing this game of football. He's going to make a lot of money. He's not going to win you nothing.
Hey, this is the that same sentiment you're saying, we were saying the same thing about Matthew Stafford before the Rams got him. Same thing. Hey, great, puts up great numbers, can't win. And then he came to LA and they won a Super Bowl. So maybe it's about Dak being in the right place that can elevate and take full advantage of who he is as a player.
You talk about somebody who gave out Russell Wilson vibes personality-wise. Dak Prescott.
Why don't you call him the black, somebody else like Philip Rivers. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Philip Rivers never won anything. Philip Rivers put up all kinds of numbers.
People like Philip Rivers.
People don't like Dak Prescott.
You be the judge. I'll let you make that assessment, sir. All I'm saying is, outside of the Dallas Cowboys, his value will massively decrease.
Also, is like Jerry Jones just like, did he just invent a new term, all in, and make it mean something else? I saw a quote that he said, like, oh, we're all in. You know, we love what we did in free agency. What'd you do in free agency?
Yeah. Nothing.
I think they got Eric Kendricks from – they stole him from the Niners, I think. That's all they did, I think. Anyways, whatever.
All right.
Eric, can I ask you one question?
Sure.
The five quarterbacks we've talked about already, where are they going? Let's just put it all out there.
Oh.
Obviously, Caleb one. Jaden's going to go two. Drake May is going to go to Minnesota. J.J. McCarthy is going to go to the New York Giants.
Ooh.
Whoa. And those are the only top 10. You're just going to do me the top 10. That's it?
Yep. That's just those four. You want the last two? Penix will go to the Raiders, and Bo Nix will go to the Broncos.
Oh,
damn. I got to tell you,
But I thought they have Zach Wilson now. I thought the Broncos have Zach Wilson. I thought that's their guy. Yeah.
Zach, he's going to be chasing Cougars here in a little bit. He's going to be busy.
Get out.
Chasing Cougars.
He's going back home, dude.
You don't have to chase him. He got his mom's friends.
Hit that book.
If the Vikings get Drake May, I might have to turn into a Philly fan and just start booing the hell out of my TV that day. Mm-hmm. That's Mitch Trubisky 2.0.
Taller. Ain't it?
This is also coming from someone that's never seen him play a single snap of football. So
you don't trust Kevin O'Connell's ability to develop quarterbacks?
I would feel a lot more comfortable with J.J. McCarthy because I feel like he's kind of – yeah, is his ceiling a lot lower? Maybe. But I also know that if you put him into the Vikings tomorrow, chances are we could win 8, 9, 10 games next year.
You got Sam Darnold there.
Oh, that's true. I forgot. The great one.
There you go.
Hey, it's the offseason, man. It's understandable. Hey, Eric, it's great to talk to you. We appreciate all this extra time. Thank you so much. Enjoy the draft. And if tomorrow you get done with the Rams and you want to come over and meet me for a beer at Hennessy's in Hermosa, I'll be right around the corner.
Hey, that sounds good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate y'all.
All right, man. Eric Williams from FoxSports.com. You can read all of his stuff there on FoxSports.com. And boy, a lot of good draft talk right there with Eric. And as I asked the question to you guys, you know, does Prize Picks have anything about the draft? They don't. But right now, between basketball and baseball and darts and everything else that's going on, listen, I'll ask everybody to do me a favor. And Joseph Cabral, you are a great friend. The other day, Joseph sent me his picks on Prize Picks. Right now, I've got Luke Littler, LeBron James, and Nikola Jokic on Thursday, okay, for tomorrow. So I've got LeBron to go for more than 41.5. I figure the Lakers are coming home. They're playing in their home crowd. They're desperate to win. Otherwise, this thing is over and done with, which I think it is anyway. And I've got Jokic, who I think when you say 50.5 points, rebounds, and assists, he's going to score 25 points at least. He's going to have 15 rebounds at least, and he's going to have 10 assists, you know? So that's 50. And I think Jokic will go for more than 50.5 points, rebounds, and assists. So that's my card so far. Download the Prize Picks app. Use our code GREATFRIENDS, and they'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. What do you think about those picks, Browner?
Listen, I like those picks, but I got something special in this in a special P. So hop into that special P for Prize Picks. Look at those combo picks. I really like them. I'm doing a card with all four.
Okay, the special P?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got to find that. I got to find that.
Yeah.
Right. I got to do it. I got to do it. That's what she said? Is that what she said, really? She said she's looking for the special P, too? Really? Mm-hmm. All right, stick around. This is Kaplan and crew. We're going in a whole different direction. We're about to make a major left turn next.
Hearts.
All right, great friends. Hey, what's going on? Glad everybody's here on a Wednesday afternoon. Today's show, a lot about NFL draft on radio and coming up, as a matter of fact. Eric Williams will be here. We're going to talk a lot of NFL draft. So I wanted to take this time during our Cox Your View exclusive to spend some time talking about what happened with the Padres in Colorado, because I will tell you guys that last night, Browner, you'll be proud of me. I was back on the NBA train last night. I was watching that.
Yeah.
Dallas and the Clippers, much more so. I mean, I was flipping back and forth between the Padres and the Rockies, but with what happened the night before between Philadelphia and New York and the Lakers and Denver, the games were so good and so controversial and so close and competitive and entertaining that I find myself right now watching more playoff basketball than I do early season, regular season baseball. So I want to talk about the Padres because we haven't spoken about them yet. But before I do, just a reminder. My guy, Brett Weiss, Mushroom Life, and this is his new coffee, Life Brew. Hey, Browner, did you reach out to Brett? Is he coming on Saturday night? Did you ask him?
Yeah, he said he's going to be in that building.
He'll be there. All right, Saturday night in Cardiff, we're going to a bar called The Kraken. A band is playing called 91 Octane, and the guy who leads the band is a longtime great friend. And this is our Browner homecoming. You know, he was gone for a few weeks. We know about the family tragedy. We all community got together and helped raise the money to send his mom off the right way, et cetera. This is the welcome home. Let's hug it out. Let's have a great time. Let's celebrate life together. But I want to just remind everybody that Brett Weiss was the guy that started the fund at $500. He closed it with $325 to get us to 15 grand. And we love the guy. We love that he's part of the show. This is his product. Life Brew Coffee. It's a mushroom, natural mushroom coffee, has a sweetness and a feel of like a latte. I take one scoop every morning. I put it in my regular coffee, delish, and really great for like focus, for anti-inflammatory. All the natural mushrooms are, yeah, delish, all in the back.
You really just went delish? Really?
Delish, delish.
You couldn't finish that word?
Well, I have extra time now at the end of the day. Okay. I said delish, not delicious. I have a tenth of a second at the end of the day. That's my free time.
Will you use that time to unplug your computer?
I will unplug my computer at some point.
Still on, huh?
I will. I know.
Still on, man.
Life Brew. Use the website, lifebrew.com, and use our code KLIFE20 to save.
So what's connected to that computer? Your phone?
So here's the thing.
If I call you right now.
Yeah.
It'll ring.
If you call me right now, I have three computers in my office. I have this laptop right here. I have the computer that I'm using right now as my regular computer that has my camera on it. And the computer in the corner, which used to be my business computer, that computer is right here ringing right now. That computer is ringing right now.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And here's the funniest part of it is that I don't even use the computer anymore. I cleaned it off. I put everything on an external hard drive. I updated the operating system. And now I don't even use it anymore. I don't even know what it's here for anymore. I don't have any reason.
Just unplug it, bro. Just unplug it.
I'm gonna unplug it. I'm gonna do it. All right. Let's go to the Padres and what happened yesterday. So, I gotta say, you know, you go to Colorado, and I get it. There's 162 games. You're not gonna win every game. Even when you play a bad team, you're gonna find yourself losing. Even the best teams in baseball are gonna lose to the worst teams in baseball. There's no question about it. But. The only thing is that you're playing against a bad team. You're on the road. And you know what? These are the kinds of wins you kind of want to bank. And again, you're going to lose games. I got it. You're going to lose against teams that are inferior. I get it. But gosh, it would be good if they could just win games against bottom feeders like Colorado.
5-7 against teams with losing records so far this year. And last year they ended up with the winning record, but going into August, I think they were at 500 against teams with losing records last year. Mm-hmm. So they need to really capitalize, especially in the division that they're playing in. They need to capitalize and win
the series.
But it's, you know, it's one game, but you got to win the series. Absolutely.
Win the series. That's my approach to when you play this level of team. Win these series. Don't necessarily get caught up in sweeping them. Win the series because they got good players. They got professional baseball players over there too. And in a situation like that, without that grand slam, I think they find a way to win that game. But giving up that grand slam really
difficult to win games when you're not really hitting the ball anywhere. Nonetheless, Coors, you know, that's the advantage that Coors presents.
They put up four.
At Coors, it's not exactly like a lot of runs. It's like
it wasn't like a really emphatic four either, you know. So
that's true.
Yeah. So I will say though, I you know, he had a good outing against the Brewers in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm slapping the A word on Michael King for my future diagnosis.
When you say the A word, does that mean ass?
No. Browner's favorite word, the way he describes Joe Musgrove. I think you're looking at an average starting pitcher right here. I don't think
average. You're
looking. And listen, I know it's his first year being a starter. I know he's a bullpen guy being converted into a starter. He started that process last year in New York. But when I'm looking at him as what I see, like, he's not a number one. And yeah, he's definitely not a number one. And I don't think he's a number two. I think at your best day, he's a three level guy.
3-4. Yeah, but who thought he was coming in here as anything other than a 3-4?
Well, when you are the piece, when you are the main piece for the Juan Soto trade, you would expect something like that in return.
And when the Yankees told everybody that the Padres won the trade because of, you know, all these arms that they got, he was the centerpiece of the trade. I mean, right?
Yeah. But they got more than just Michael King.
Yeah, that's true.
I think as we continue to go through the season, I think Michael King's worth to this team will absolutely shine in a fourth starter because Dylan Cease is your one. Yu Darvish will be your two. Joe Musgrove's going to be your three. And if Michael King is your four, as opposed to a Sean Manaea level of a guy, I think you're in great shape with a starting rotation. And so I don't necessarily see Michael King as what he did last night is an indication of what he'll give you for the rest of the season. It's Coors.
He's shown two really good outings, and he's shown two bad outings and a rough one. So what if I want to be complimentary of AJ Preller, which I'm not, but if I was going to spin zone this thing, I would argue with you that Dylan Cease is the biggest thing you got for Juan Soto.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely,
you got Drew Thorpe in that trade, and you turned Drew Thorpe around and you threw some prospects in. But I'm not, because everyone told me that the big main piece for Juan Soto was Michael King. He's not a younger, like, he's 28. It's not like he's a 21-year-old kid out there. So what I'm telling you is, I think in return so far, you know, you got an average starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
TBD on Vasquez and Brito.
Yeah.
And you got a backup catcher. And that's really it that you offer Juan Soto.
And
unless Randy Vasquez and Johnny Barrito start coming out and excelling.
Well, and you also got rid of having to pay Juan Soto $30+ million that you couldn't afford. And the fact is that honestly, getting rid of him.
Why couldn't you afford it?
Well, what do you mean? Why couldn't you afford it?
Let's not get into that.
Right. So that's
I mean, you want to, Point being, though, you couldn't afford Juan Soto, number one. And number two, if I had to take a guess, I would just say that chemistry wise, the team is probably better this year than they were last year. And you could say that's the manager.
I think that's more managerial than anything. I don't think that's a talent situation. I think that's a managerial situation.
It's pretty wild, man, because
I'm not saying it's a talent thing. I'm saying it's a chemistry thing, and that Juan Soto may have contributed to negative chemistry. That's what I'm saying.
I think that what we know in the public spectrum and what happens behind closed doors is a very different thing. And what I mean by that is we all hated Eric Hosmer, right? Like, we all wanted him out of town so bad. But the players in that locker room loved him, loved him. And I'll present to you more facts tomorrow. He started a podcast now, and he's bringing in all these Padres, and they're all like best buds, dude. Mm-hmm. So to say that the manager was the problem, okay, But could it also be Juan Soto was kind of a diva-ish and didn't take a leadership role or thought he was better than the team? I can definitely much buy into that because no one's crying about Juan Soto leaving.
Moreover, his situation, his contract status, the dollar figures that the Padres had paid out, what it was going to take to sign him long-term, etc. That whole storyline to me sort of hung over the team and the organization like a black cloud. You know, what's going to happen? Are they going to sign him? How can they pay him? You know, they gave so much money
to
everybody else.
It's going to happen to the Yankees, too.
And this whole conversation about Michael King and everybody, like Nick Canepa replied to our tweet yesterday about giving AJ Preller his flowers. It's a simple, all he said was, it's April.
Yeah, right. And by the way, there's a video. There's a video on YouTube. The headline is AJ Preller gets his flowers for Padres 2014. Total clickbait video, but you might want to go check it out on the Kaplan and Crew YouTube channel. All right, this segment being brought to us by our friends at Life Brew Coffee, and let's talk NFL draft next. Guys, great day today. I didn't realize that Eric Williams would take up two segments, which I was happy about because I think there was a lot of really good draft talk in there. I also feel like with Greg Scheinman, that is a complete left turn from where we were going with the show today. But I wanted to try something different new. So I'll ask you guys, what'd you think of Scheinman?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good change of pace, but it was a positive change of pace. And it's a bunch of people who listen to the show that are probably in an A's range that really have some of those feelings and questions about where he is and his story. So I thought it was a good get.
Yeah, I liked it too, man. I really did. I liked it. It's a tough topic to discuss right now. You know, like guys, middle age, money, family, time, health, etc. And I think we all look at it and go, well, if I don't have enough money, I can't do what I want to do anyway. But I do think that even if you have to work because you still need to work, I do. There's got to be a way to kind of, live a good life while still having to work because you need the money. You know what I'm saying?
I enjoyed it too. I really did. But how much time you got, Scott? I got to ask Browner something really important.
Go ahead. Ask him.
Yesterday, I hugged it out with this man.
We
ran into each other at Costco yesterday.
You and Browner?
Me and Browner, yeah.
Browner, but I got to Costco a lot, dude.
I'm there once a week because I shop like little amounts. I know that's hard to do at Costco, but my number one question to Browner, my only question to Browner, how is the sushi, dog?
This man
bought prepackaged sushi from Costco, and I've seen it in that fridge. And it looks good. It does look good. How was it?
Listen, if you're ever going to buy some prepackaged sushi from a place that you could trust, Costco is the place. So therefore, I put my full trust in Costco.
Mm-hmm.
Costco came through big time, man. Mm-hmm. Costco came through big time. It's not the best sushi you ever have, but in a pinch for a nice little snack,
what'd you get?
For $10, it's delicious.
Yeah, what did you get?
It was like a little roll. I can't remember the name of the roll, but I like what was in it.
Cause they got a platter where it's like multiple rolls, different types of rolls. That's the one that I like has intrigued me.
So if you get it, if you get a chance,
but it's packaged sushi, man. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you know, like Bonds here in North Park, they got the dude lady.
But
they got the dude and the lady making it right in front of you. And then they put in a package and it doesn't taste the same. There's something off about the rice, I think.
Yeah. Something off with the rice.
This was very well received by me. No feelings, funny feelings, and none of that. I would recommend that everyone, if you're curious about it, I have been a guinea pig. Feel free to try it.
And this is
I
a man.
Definitely recommend it.
This is a man that refuses to eat sushi on a sidewalk, but he'll eat sushi from a prepackaged Costco package.
No problem.
That's how much trust I got in Costco.
All right, to be this continued other thing. Tomorrow.
That slice of pizza that I bought in the food court, it didn't make it. I was already on the 8 and it was gone.
All right, to be continued tomorrow, only because as you see, I got to go. I got meetings happening. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. We're back tomorrow. Peace out, everybody.